Hey everyone, I'm Jay.
I'm Scott.
I'm Sophia.
And I'm Fishsticks. Welcome to Witches Betwixt.
The great unfuckling 2.0 is about to happen and it's going to be a shit show.
Man, can that be the title of this episode?
Sure.
It's a great name.
You know what? Let's talk about that, because what I wanted to talk about as well, you're already recording too, ain't you?
Yeah, I've been recording for the past 2 minutes or so. Two minutes.
And you can just clip it in at whatever point you want. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's the thing too that I was gonna say. Like, the cool thing is we can just kind of talk about what the fuck ever, right?
Exactly.
And the idea I had was like this memory that had popped up from a while ago when I was younger. I typed it out in chat for y'all. I don't know if you saw it, but since we're recording, I should repeat it. There's this website I came across when I was a kid, and this was like way before Photoshop was competent enough to like fully simulate environments, you know what I mean? And like alter time and night and day really, really visibly, realistically. And I scrolled across this page and they had all of these like rock formations set up in like spiral patterns all across like these lush, verdant landscapes, you know? And it was in another language that I couldn't read, which Google Translate told me was German. And the words that I got out of it were sacred light, right? And at one point, one of the only words that I understood on one of them was the ritual is complete, the gate is closed, which I now know is a fucking magic term as an adult, right? Looking back. So like, I'm like, whoa, were these guys like actually posting pictures of like some magical fucking wonders that they were doing on the internet back in the day? And I like went to dive back into it and I could find absolutely nothing about it. It's just gone, like purged from the internet. Like I couldn't even find it on the Wayback Machine sort of thing, you know? So I don't know. I was just wondering if y'all had ever heard about anything like that, and like what's the significance of stone spirals out there. But we can also talk about like, you know, the great unfuckening and like whatever the fuck we want, really.
Since I get good vibes off of these deep fried gritty memes, I posted them on the DKMU Facebook with which one of you fucked with this because I love you.
Oh, good Lord.
I'm going to start a fight.
Are you a rock star?
I'm a motherfucking, I don't know. No, I'm not. I'm not cool enough or cute enough to be a rock star.
Aww. I was hoping.
I would be like this, the short trash goblin Jack Black rock star if I was a rock star.
Yeah, so this is going to be the big chaos episode, and I guess we should kick the hour timer now since we're aware that we're recording, and who knows when we're going to clip it. So yeah, what do we really want to dive into on this? What are we feeling?
I'm kind of interested in magical communities, right? Like these online magical communities, because I'm trying to grow the Witches Betwixt community, and you and Fish have a lot of experience with like growing DKMU, you know what I mean? Like it's not like y'all founded it, but you know, you've been helped growing it and taking care of it, you know? So
well, that's a good topic. Yeah.
Yeah. Because like it's, I don't know. I kind of want to, like, how did that evolve? How did that naturally evolve and progress? That's what I'm just so interested. And then when it gets fucked, how do you
pass the torch to Fish?
Yeah, and then I guess, like, when it, because we were talking, yeah, like, how do you unfuck it when it gets fucked?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. First off, you need something that people are interested in enough to bring together, right? Like, I obviously didn't create DKMU, and I joined it in 2010. So I had only really came into a moderator position simply because I had been around long enough. And there also happens to be, like, periods where inactivity happens, right? Because in any community, you're going to have fluxes, right? You're going to have periods of super activity where everything's really busy and you have to fucking meet the server because everybody won't shut the fuck up. And then you have other periods where like nothing's getting posted and it feels like the whole thing's died, right? So it's kind of a balancing act, right? And what always kept DKMU alive throughout those years was people coming back to it because of a shared interest, because of common whatever, right? Be it a common goal, like wanting to change the world, be it a common image that they had shared and built up throughout the ages, be it just a common grounds of friendship and camaraderie between the people that were there, because God knows that the original group wasn't built as like some internet space. It was group as like built as like a friendship space between the individuals, not just like friendship alone, right? But it was like, to quote one of the earlier works, like, It is found in members who open their doors to others who find themselves in the favorable events of a visit or unfavorable events of an eviction. You know, it is found in the bonds between those who stand against whatever. I can't remember the rest of it, right? And it's talking about how, like, what the group really is isn't like a physical space or even anything that can truly be defined. Throwing in some Dao jokes, but it's something that in its essence had enough oomph to stay around because it was interesting and people put effort into it to keep it going, right? People worked on the god forms, people discussed stuff, people would be able to go there and have conversations about stuff they wouldn't be able to on other parts of the internet, like honest to god conversations about the psychoactive effects of drugs on your magical practice and stuff like that, right? So you had it kind of like self-sustaining naturally, kind of like any community does when you have enough people who want to talk about the same thing. This is why 4chan exists, right? However, what really brought DKMU into its modern air quotations community iteration is like a deliberate experiment that we've kind of started on the Discord, which is when we started deciding to moderate the space rather stiffly, right? Because originally when it was like early internet, you know, and it was just like our friends and like people who knew each other inviting it in, it was a matter of just like if you knew someone, that's probably how you were going to find it out, or you ran into one of the propaganda pieces that like pulled people in, like what happened with me. I found one of the YouTube videos, right? And then that's how the group would grow. But as the name gets out there and as documents are made and as time goes on, fascists find out about it and people come in and start fucking around. You start getting these real chud lords coming in and trying to shift the overtone window because they want to make everything about them, right? So what it really comes down to is like finding a balance between like making sure bad actors can't be in your community and steering it down a bad road, but also not being too heavy-handed in determining what your community needs to be functioning about, because a community is a consensus, right? A community is nothing more than the members who comprise it, right? Like if I were to talk about what I think of when I talk about the DKMU community, I would literally just sit here listing off members from our Discord server because they as individuals are what make it a rich and wonderful experience. And what people get out of community is like other people who they want to spend their time with, who they enjoy the company of and can have good conversations with that they can't necessarily get other places. And just have a place to share their thoughts and feel validated on some regard or actually like intellectually challenged or whatever they're looking for, you know, and every group's going to be different, but you have to kind of put a certain degree of effort into it, right? Like admins don't do anything if they're just sitting there off the website, never fucking reading anything. And then just coming in when they're tagged because there's a problem. Suddenly those admins become removed from the community and rather hated rather than actually feeling like they're an active contributing member of the community. So like, if you look at our community in the top 10, most of us are mods, at least half of us are mods or admin, you know, and the top three is admin, mod, admin. And then below that, it's like a user, an admin, and then like moderators and users interlaced, you know? So like there's a good spread of how much we're interacting with the community because we're still community members, right? We're just people who clean up the spills. So yeah, what were you going to say, Fish?
So it's complicated, like because the back end and the ongoing running, not just like of the Discord, but of like any community, whether it's a culture or not, is way more work than it looks like. Mm-hmm. And especially when it comes to like a culture based communities, occult magic based communities, anything esoteric really, like there's a bunch of elements there that, you know, your typical non-magic community doesn't really have to pay that much attention to. Like you have to watch people posting sigils and you have to try to determine whether or not that sigil is just, you know, somebody sharing their work or if they're trying to like bomb the group with some shit or, I mean, and on the interpersonal and the social side, you have to keep watching for, you know, the subtle and constant little trickle of chuds coming in and trying to chud shit up. And you have to be able to ID friend from foe and, you know, spicy, ironic joke from actual serious attempt at fucking shit up. Like, you have to you have to look at the context of everything, and that makes it complicated because there's no like set playbook. If you post this thing, fuck you. Because it could easily be irony. It could easily be an attempt to subvert some chuddy fucking meme. And, you know, you have to deal with interpersonal disputes. You have to deal with, you know, bad actors coming in trying to fuck around. You have to deal with like crossed wires, and you have to be a peacekeeper without making it in making it a fishbowl where everybody believes and says exactly the same thing. Like, you have to try to calm the waters over a variety of different viewpoints and a variety of different opinions and takes on things, and just sit there with the bat in your lap and enjoy your conversation. But when people start to kind of forget the concept of mutual respect and remember the human, you have to kind of remind them. They're like, look, you are talking to another person. Can you not be a fucking prick for 10 minutes? And that's not something that we have to deal with really frequently in the DKMU Discord, but we do see it occasionally, especially when new folks come in. Like, they are anxious. They just walked into a literal beehive of people. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're chaos magicians. So the conversation is not only just off the wall, you know, pants on head, crazy all the time. You've got a lot of different people with a lot of different paradigms and backgrounds, experience, all these other things.
I'm not going to lie. And when I first entered the DKMU server, it was very intimidating.
It is. And new folks that come in frequently either go real quiet because they're not real sure how to join into the conversation, or they jump directly in. I love those folks. They just go balls deep into the conversation as hard as they can, but they're also anxious and they want to be taken seriously and they want to prove their chops. Mm-hmm. And it very frequently gets them into some deep weeds because they start airing very hard line opinions, very absolute opinions about things to a group of people for whom there are no absolutes. We're fucking chaos magicians. So you occasionally get folks that come in and they're like, I want to be taken seriously, this, that, and the other. And it's like, we take you seriously, but you just relax. Or they go hard the other way into pure absurdity. And it gets to the point where it's like, you're trying real hard. And we really just want people to be chill. But a lot of folks are, like, the majority of folks are real chill. Mm-hmm. But that onboarding period, that first 48 hours can be kind of interesting for folks. So.
And honestly, like, it's hard too. Like, when people start getting pissy and backbiting and they don't realize they are and you're trying to talk to them about it, like, a lot of mod work is actually dealing with people's shitty behavior and attitude, right? And just trying to, like, talk them, be like, yo, like, that rubs people the wrong fucking way, right? Like, for example, there's somebody I was talking to in the back rooms who we had a disagreement over, and I tagged him in something. I'm like, yo, what do you think about this? And then he like tried to play some absurd moral high ground when like he's someone who's cursed an entire country for fucking with a pop star he likes. Like, get Jesus fucked. Christ. Don't talk to me about some like moral fucking high ground, right? Like, and if you don't want to do it, like, that's fine, right? Yeah. But like, you do get people who do a lot of like moral posturing, and like, it's fine to have your own personal opinions and stuff, but what people tend to really do is use their opinions to beat other people like a cudgel. And it's really subtle when it's happening, and it's hard to get them to see, because very often they'll just be like, oh, you're just like pissed about this or whatever. And it's that type of shit drains more moderator energy than any fucking thing else. And this person in question had literally like messaged me a week and a half ago and was like, hey, sorry I've been prickly lately, I'm just dealing with some stuff in my personal life. I'm like, cool, thanks for letting me know. But then like, it translates into a conversation later on where like you're having a conflict and he's already acknowledged that he's getting prickly with you, right? And like, then can't see it in the moment. Like, that shit is so fucking tiring. You know, like, yeah. You don't ask for those little constant petty bitch fights that happen up constantly, but it's that stuff that drains you more than like the blowups, you know?
Yeah, there's always, it's always kind of a tug of war, because it when you're on staff, and staff is a really weird kind of liminal position in the Discord, because like, we ain't better. We're just the ones that picked up a mop and said, all right, we're going to keep this place relatively clean.
Thank y'all keep you doing for your putting thing. It that
and,
way.
You know, so like it's not a position of like there is always going to be if you're on staff anywhere, any social group online, like if you're on staff, there's going to be, you know, a sense of like authority and whatnot. But we, aside from, you know, kind of keeping shit civil, even remotely civil, on the Discord, you know, it eats up time. So, mm-hmm. you know, you have to constantly deal with this mitigation and this kind of, you toe the line between, you know, letting everything just become a, you know, 4chan style shit show where nobody remembers that the other people they're talking to are human. Clearly you're all a simulation in my weird solipsis nightmare. And, you know, being too, or being so conflict adverse that no disagreements happen. Like disagreements are going to happen. That's just arguments and fights and cross wires mm-hmm. are going to fucking happen. It's just a matter of, you know, trying to remind people, hey, you do realize that y'all are saying the same shit. You're arguing literally the same shit back to each other, you know? And when you're on staff, like, and you're trying to interact on a regular basis and keep things moving and keep not really guiding the conversation, but contributing to it and being present and being available, because that's part of what, you know, socializing as a member of staff is. Like, you're trying to make sure people understand you are fucking available. If they have a problem, they can come to you. They can, you know, consult you about whatever bullshit's going on so that you can head this the stuff off before it pours over into some, you know, deep-seated bullshit drama. Like, you want to be available. You also need to be able to be available. But, like, it also puts you in the position where if you make a hot take...
Oh, God.
Woo! That's spicy. That seems incredibly spicy sometimes. Like, and you're not allowed to be wrong as often, you know?
And people don't take... Like, people will take you stating your personal opinion like it's moderated action. I can't tell you how many times I've told someone I don't like how they're talking to me and they're being a fucking asshole. And they're like, what are you gonna do, moderate me? And I'm like, no, you're not breaking the rules. I'm just telling you you're being a fucking asshole. Deal with it. What the fuck? You suddenly are no longer able to voice your personal opinions without it being associated with moderated action, you know?
Yeah.
It seems it seems like that is kind of why communities like Witch Talk fail. Like they're destined to fail because there's no one mopping up, because there is no point person. You know what I mean? Like there's no one in charge.
there's not even infrastructure to allow for it in the first place.
You know? And so like and I think that's why these communities kind of just become so toxic so quickly is because they become so toxic so quickly that like it just falls apart because it couldn't it was doomed to fail anyway. It was kind of like designed to fail because there was no design, you know? And I think, you know, it reminds me of like the, like, because, I don't know, some people act like the Witch Talk drama is new. It's not new because remember the days of Tumblr? As far as I'm concerned, that's just text-based TikTok.
Yeah, before it was Tumblr, it was fucking Twitter. Before it was Twitter, it was, you know, some Facebook. Other place. And in the beginning, it was LiveJournal. So.
Oh, God. Don't forget how much Facebook magic group drama has gone on. Good fucking Lord.
I heard you laughing there, Scott, because you were a big user of the
Actually people Witch really love my Tumblr. Witchwise is where I first came that's where I first got my handle was Witchwise, and like oh my God. I mean I actually managed to like mostly dodge
the worst of
witch
all.
Drama. Mm. But of course, like as it is in like all occult and you know, esoteric bases. Like the kind of the peacocking and the posturing, it's kind of, you know, unfortunately, it's like a thing everywhere. And I fell into it a couple times, both as perpetrator, because I thought it's what you had to do to like stay afloat.
It's like it's a prison and you've got to fuck a couple of people up to get taken seriously. Yeah.
Right.
And oh my God.
On the being shut down and, you know, for, you know, one time I was actually genuinely wrong. And of course they had to like, you know, drag me through the mud And then the second time, I honestly was kind of, I was very, like, I was right, and I was kind of just, I refused to, like, be told about something that I know was accurate. And it wasn't, like, about, like, it wasn't, like, about, like, magic and, like, the nature of magic. It wasn't even about anything like that. Like, that's kind of, you know, obviously up in the air, you know, you can't really come to whatever. It was more, like, about historical end of things. And I was like, but this is how it actually happened. And I was like, here are my sources. Here is proof. I don't remember what it was. I just remember that, yeah, it was like a big thing. But yeah, I remember reading the drama of Witch Talk, which was like, sometimes it was absolutely insane. Like, we think that Witch Talk is bad, but Witch Blur was, whew.
Yeah, like, and it's easy to get sucked into the tea and the drama and whatnot, like, but I don't know, the most useful thing I ever did for myself, like, regarding a culture social media, was to quit giving a fuck, deciding whether or not it was actually worth it to even engage some of the dumb shit that I hear, and the dumb shit that I get told or attacked with. It's like, does their opinion affect me personally at all? Am I going to let, you know, this person's misguided, unhinged fucking rants that they've spent all night writing, like this 30 post, like, weird ass reply where they're essentially talking to themselves using you as the vehicle? Do I really care enough, number one, to read it? Number two, to respond to it, like, point by fucking point? Am I really going to spend 2 or 3 hours on this rando on the internet who apparently forgot I'm human and has something to prove? No, I don't give a fuck. You can just talk to your fucking self. I don't give a shit. So, you know, understand that, like, when you're wrong, you need to think about it. So, like, if you get a legitimate criticism, somebody who maybe even is really pissed off at you, and you give it a little bit of thought, and you're like, no, this is bullshit. There's no reason for you to deeply engage that. Like, you still believe the same thing you believed. They're just mad. And they can continue being mad. And they probably have lots of underlying reasons why they're doing the shit they're doing and why they came at you specifically. Like, it may be some sensitivity that they have or some baggage they're dragging behind them, just same as you're dragging yours. Like, it might not have anything to actually do with you. And you think about the why of why people get, you know, deeply involved in this stuff. And you watch their patterns over time. Like, if they habitually get themselves involved in drama, they just really like drama, and they're taking out something in their own life online on people that don't have the ability to get in their face or, you know, have any tangible fucking consequences. It has nothing to do with you. They're just a broken person doing broken shit. And do you really want to feed into that by giving them more reason to continue doing what they're doing? No. That doesn't help you. That doesn't help them either.
Absolutely. And it's funny that you say this too, because I actually recently just went through something on my Instagram, which I have never had an incident on my Instagram before. And it was discussing my my Halloween costume, I suppose. But I like doing like folkloric things from like non-closed, mostly Europe, right? England, Ireland, that kind of thing. Places that I'm, you know, have descended from, you know. And I was really interested in dressing as the Mari Luid.
I was just thinking that Mari Luid would be a hysterical Halloween costume. You just have to get a horse skull.
I actually ended up getting that. It's not a real skull because it's expensive. So I'm using, it was a skull, a unicorn skull, but I took the horn off.
Oh,
and I already have like sheets coming in and everything. And a Welsh practitioner, the next morning after my post, decided to essentially shame me. He didn't claim appropriation, which is kind of what I thought he was getting at, but he didn't ever use that word. And he was like, his words were, I don't understand why it is that everyone outside of Wales thinks that the Mari Luid is a Halloween or I have a hard time pronouncing Welsh words, but the Welsh Halloween is something to the effect of a Nos Galan Gaif, Which is essentially, like I said, Welsh Halloween. And he said, you know, essentially it's actually really a Christmas or a Yuletide celebration, even though there is research to show that it does come out more on the Hallows Tide. It just has, it's fell out of favor in more recent years. And
someone is, it was a case of somebody's wrong on the internet and I'm going to tell them. Yeah.
I also feel like old world people need to understand that the new world is just a simulacrum of the old world, and they have to get over it being wrong because it's going to be wrong. Thank you. Good night. Continue.
He went on to, right, and he went on to post not one but two posts about essentially me without calling me out. The first one was pretty much just saying Mary Lewitt is Welsh and all this stuff, even though I had never said anything different about the Mary Lewitt. I wasn't claiming she was Celtic in any way. I had hashtagged Samhain, but it wasn't because I was trying to make a connection to the Mary Lewitt directly, just the time periods or the times of year that are relevant. Mm-hmm. Which Samhain is New Year. And it wasn't really to say that Mary Lewitt, once again, was Celtic in any way or Irish in any way.
You were making these broad scale assumptions, and she came at you out of the gate like you were, yeah.
Yeah, and then the second post was much more like defaming and mean, where it was pretty much he made a meme where he said people who dress up as Mary Lewitt for Halloween. And it's like it had like it was like a meme. So it was like just some character, and it had like there was like the Welsh, and it had like the Welsh flag, and it was some guy dressed as an armadillo. And what we like what the Welsh think, you know, basically saying like we think you're an armadillo or whatever, you know. Good Lord. I was just kind of like, and I ended up, now it's funny because given my anxiety, I ended up messaging him. It's like, hey, you know, like, and I made it really lighthearted at first. I was like, hey. You know, given, you know, your shitposting, and I made it lighthearted, like it didn't have to be an argument, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And because I was like, I really hate the idea of like offending someone, you know what I mean? Like, and I wanted to have an actual conversation, a civil, you know, polite conversation that he completely ignored. But after talking to like a lot of people and kind of sitting with myself, I realized that like this is also one of those things where, like you were just saying, yeah, he didn't even follow me. He never followed me, this person. So I was like, he really just sought out a hashtag and decided to lash out. He decided to, he picked someone on the internet, if you will. And I was like, it really was just a hateful sort of attack, you know. And he didn't give me a chance to explain, like, you know, where I learned about the Mary Lewitt, and which was from the Witchcraft Museum in the Boss Castle, England, actually. They bring out the Mary Lewitt twice a year during Samhain, their New Year, and Yuletide during the Christmas season. And, you know, which I felt, you know, would have been, I don't know, but no, I really had to kind of, like you were saying, Fish, kind of draw the conclusions to kind of, you know, come back from that, because it actually fucked with me a little bit. Because it was really, like, I felt very, you know, hurt, and I was like, did I do something wrong? Like, am I, you know, I fall here? But yeah, I totally understand what you're saying.
Like it's weird. Like, somebody has a bad day or a bad week, and they have a chip on their shoulder, and they go online and they're trying to blow off some steam, and they just go out looking for a fight. And it doesn't really matter who they're fighting with. It's the fact that they're releasing their steam valve, but they forget that the person they're releasing their steam valve on is another human being whose existence is just as vivid and complicated and troubled as theirs is. They don't care. It's just a dump. And it's frustrating to see that. Like, when you see somebody who just clearly came looking for a fight and they didn't care who it was with. I mean, you go from having a bad day to bitching on the internet about part of the hooded animal folkloric trend, which is which if you look at it is part of what Mary Lewitt is. I mean, and it's a lighthearted thing. Fertility rituals and mm-hmm. a lot of different things are bringing fertility back are very, they're supposed to be lighthearted. They're supposed to be fucking funny. I mean, the meme is not wrong, okay? Mary Lewitt, you are basically rap battling a horse skull.
Yep.
For access to your pantry and your stash of beer. And if you cannot out rap in this rap battle, this horse skull at your door. You have to let them in, and then they will drink all your beer and raid your pantry. Mm-hmm. That's it's hysterically funny.
Yeah, and you have
why are you going to get butthurt about this stuff on the internet? It does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hurt the spiritual process that Mariluid is part of. It Mariluid themselves does not give a fuck. Why do you?
Right.
Like, don't take out your anger at your job or your spouse or your kids or something that happened in your life on random ass people on the internet over shit that legit does not matter. You're just talking to hear yourself. It's mm-hmm. like, I don't know. It's just, it feels like a huge waste of time.
That's the conclusion that I drew from that. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't used to Instagram being a source of that. I was always so used to my Instagram space being actually very polite and easygoing, you know? So, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. It was definitely surprising to see that kind of shift.
Sometimes I think people over-intellectualize things like that, because I was just thinking of the guy's initial question was, why does everyone associate this with Halloween? I'll tell you why. Because the thing is fucking terrifying. That's why.
It's a horse skull in a hood. Yeah, right. It's
scary.
And yeah.
And people that would be a dope Halloween costume. And that's how that happens.
And honestly, like, I don't understand why I understand the concept of open and closed systems and open and closed beliefs. Like, I have some closed beliefs, I have some open beliefs. But in terms of something that is distinctly based out of regional folklore, for which, like, Mariluid in one area, I mean, Mariluid specifically is South Wales, but, like, depending on where you're from in South Wales, the presentation could be very different. And it's part of a larger current within folklore mm-hmm. itself. Folklore is not heavily codified for a reason, because from county to county and village to village, shit's gonna be different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like spreading awareness of like, I didn't know who the fuck Mariluid was until I saw the meme, which is hysterically funny to me. And so I started on this fucking rabbit hole reading about it. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's part of this aspect of folklore that I did know about. It's like, why is bringing that to the forefront if it is an open and a lot of the folklore of that area is very open, because we have so much like spread. I mean, you have so many folks that have Welsh descent in the United States, all over Europe, all this other stuff. Why is it wrong to carry those things with us and make people more aware of them? If we're talking about like the spiritual side of things, awareness of that egregore, whether the archetypal side of the egregore or specifically Mariluid itself, that makes it more powerful.
Right.
I have a lot to scream in the void about this.
Like, and it's an open practice, so why you gotta be like this, yo? Anyway,
so here's the thing that really fucks with me. Yeah, and on that point, here's something that really fucks with me. It's really similar to, like, how do I put this? You ever notice how people just assume that people in the West are morally bankrupt, godless? Yet also will simultaneously deny them access to any type of culture or tradition that isn't immediately tied to the modern conception of Americana. So it's like the place of your birth immediately lashes you to all of these conceptions that everyone has about you. And it doesn't matter if you're like indigenous or not, if you're trying to access the practices of your ancestors, you almost always get shit on, right? Native people get shit on when they're doing it. Like, people who are descended from white European get shitted on. They're like, you're not from Wales anymore. Like you're supposed to just suffer for existing.
Yeah.
You're supposed to just be the fucking hated and the damned, and fuck you. That's what it feels like half the time, honest to God.
It's really weird. Like, people forget that the U.S. is in large part at this point, which is unfortunate, but is true, a nation full of immigrants, and people came here from lots of different places and they carried their cultural traditions with them. The reason that Americans and really North Americans in general that are not indigenous, and really a lot of them that are, because of how much destruction has been done to their cultures. are constantly trying to find themselves and reach back through their own heritage is because this is a nation that is less than 400 years old. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have some things of our own, but we all also have, a lot of us have little familial threads here and there to where our people came from. And I'm sorry, white ain't an identity.
Right.
No,
it's a fucking identity. Not. It's fucking not, because I can say I grew up white. That was my fucking identity. And I know it sounds, I don't know how this is going to sound, but I had no fucking culture growing up. Like, there was no particular foods that were, like, in our blood, in our passed down, in our family. There was no foods, there was no, rituals, there was no even little sayings or anything like that. There was no magic.
Well, I mean, a lot of people came here to change everything about themselves. Coming to a new country is the opportunity to start over and invent yourself as you wish you were, as you want to be. So a lot of people did let go of their traditions, their ethnic traditions, their regional traditions. They let them go. They changed their names. They reinvented themselves and became something else. But the problem with that is that their children, their children's children, their great, 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 great grandchildren are left going, who the fuck am I?
God,
and
damn.
They want a sense of collective identity, and they want a sense, and collective identity
and
isn't just like,
where do we come from?
Like, and I mean, it's like the rest of the world just wants us to be like, America, fuck yeah. And cheeseburgers and apple pie and
they'll hate you for that, but they'll also condemn you the moment you fucking deviate from it.
It's weird. It's weird. Like, it's, I understand that people are very protective of their regional and their ethnic traditions, and they should be, because this shit gets appropriated, it gets misunderstood, it gets commercialized, it gets dragged, you know, it loses so much deep, rich cultural context over centuries and centuries. And they have to be protective, but like, friend and foe, dude, don't swing at the people who are well-meaning. Don't.
That's why I wanted to have the conversation, right? Yeah. Like, I wanted to show him that I could pronounce the Maori Luwid. You know, like I know how to pronounce. I know the origin, South Wales. I know, you know, the potential, equestrian day, ancient, animistic Welsh, equestrian deity cult. So, like, I know a lot. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not ignorant of the Maori Luwid. I've sat here and researched for hours just out of sheer interest. You know what I mean? And I wanted to show that, but that wasn't the conversation this person was interested in having.
Oh, they weren't actually talking to you. They were just venting their shit, and you were the convenient moving target. That's the thing. Mm-hmm.
Like, most times it's straw manning is most times. That's all I was going to say.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's like, it's a shit show claw game, and you happen to be the one that they caught in the claw for a second.
Right. You know? Another issue that I wanted to bring up too, and this is once again about pagan spaces and social media, is and I guess it kind of applies to kind of this idea of like the occult and famous, the pagan and famous kind of thing, where like people, there's these very loose loyalties. Like with that thing, that incident in mind, people who liked my post about my Halloween costume were liking this person's post, making fun.
The reactions are super confusing sometimes, right?
Right, and like that, and honestly, I like, even though it hurt at first, I actually got more curious. Because, I've rallied very hard, because I used to be really leaning very heavy into this whole, like, you know, the pagan and occult authors are like, you know, the celebrities, you know, like that kind of nonsense. When I was younger, I leaned real hard into that. And as I've gotten older, I've kind of just been like, I completely reject it. I like their books. I like reading, but they are not, you know, worshipable, you know, beings. You know what I mean? They're just people.
They're not.
You know what I mean?
It's true what they say. Never meet your heroes. Never meet your heroes. Yeah, like
that was a curious phenomenon.
No, yeah, I was saying, yeah, like, absolutely. I was actually at a retreat. So, like, Amy Blackthorne, she's kind of, you know, I guess one of the popular, trad witch writers. She writes a lot about herbalism and stuff like that. So, I was actually at a retreat, with her, like, for Samhain. She went to the same retreat. She had like a couple books there. She was selling some stuff, and she was like one of their guests at this thing. And it was funny because, like, I already, like, knew her. I was already, like, I talked to her on Facebook and stuff, and because she's been to, like, Philly Pagan Pride because she's local. And it was just funny. Like, there was these other people there, and it was when Amy was doing one of her workshops, and this one lady just, like, kept saying to me, like, isn't she amazing? Isn't she just, she's just everything. And she, like, was
Oh,
really,
good
like,
Lord.
idolizing her in a way, like you would, like, a celebrity. And don't get me wrong, Amy is super awesome and cool, and, like,
She's very nice.
she's a
She's
very
really
chill
cool.
person. So yeah, everything the woman was
She
saying,
probably doesn't want to be put on a pedestal at
right,
all.
exactly. And but she's also very humble. So, like, and it was just like my interaction with this lady. I was like, yeah, she's cool. Like, I was just trying to, like,
You're like, chill, just have some
yeah, I'm
chill.
like,
Okay,
just
calm the fuck
listen.
down.
Let's just, we're all here to listen about plants. That's what we're doing today, you know? Like,
Yeah. Like it always kind of creeps me out. Like, and it I'm always really sus about, I hate to use that, God, I'm Gen X and I'm using the term sus. What the fuck
I use the
happened to
word
me?
sus now too, so
But like
you
I'm
know.
always
Been zoomered.
I'm always really sus about like authors and figureheads within a culture that deliberately lean hard, like really hard in a big way into the cult of personality that forms around them. Like they cease to be as authentic, they cease to be as from the gut and as sincere as soon as they start buying into the personality cult, and they're fronting this persona that you know isn't who they are on the day-to-day basis. Like the eating, sleeping, shitting, taking out the garbage, checking the mail, cleaning the cat box person underneath there, that's not who they're presenting. And it weirds me out a little bit when I see it. Like, and it's not a lot of folks, but the ones that are, it seems like that personality cult is very strong with them. Like they really want, they want to have their little army of folks that when they get criticized, when they get dragged for shit they legit deserve to get dragged for, their little army of folks goes and tears that person apart. And they subtly encourage that shit. I ain't here for it. The second that I see that, I'm like, yeah, I'm a pirate your books. Fuck you.
See, honestly, whenever someone approaches me, like, you know, for advice or information, and it's starting to trickle in a little bit with the podcast, right? Like, sometimes we get questions, or, like, we get those emails like, hey, you guys are awesome, and I like listening to you, and you're really helping me. And I'm like, fuck, there's so much pressure now. Like,
Well,
I
it's
don't.
I love to get the feedback, but I'm not sure what to say.
Exactly. And I think that's kind of like the difference between, like, I guess people who feed into it, right? So, like, there'd be some people out there that'd be like, that, I don't know, it gives them that dopamine, that serotonin, that whatever happy chemical, right? Like, they're like, oh, yes, you know. I feel like that's what it does to them, and to me it just trips all my alarms
So,
because
like,
I want to, but in a good way, you know what I mean? Like, it's a healthy kind of anxiety
yeah.
because I want to deliver. I want to give back, you know what I mean? I want to give back the same vibes that you're giving me, so.
Exactly. Like you really want to be able to exchange that, and but you don't want to be like, behold, I am benevolent and
Exactly.
magnanimous. You know, you want to be like, hey, fucking thank you. I really love hearing that. If
And
you want to just hang out, like, and this is the thing, like,
yes.
fucking hit me up. I do not make myself hard to find. Like, none of us do.
No.
Like, if you want to talk, fucking hit us up.
We're on the Discord all
Seriously.
the time because we're like adminning our other servers. So if you like literally stop by the Witches Betwixt Discord and tag us, we like almost can't not respond to it. Also something I was going to swing into tying to mention there was if it helps you meet your heroes, or sorry, not even meet your heroes, but get it that praise from people who have listened to your work. I learned about a concept recently called cyclical storytelling, which is where something starts in one spot and it keeps going, and then the roles get reversed and it continues, and it's basically the same thing, but it's reversed and flipped around, right? And it's kind of like that. Like for us to get where we are now, somebody had to have inspired us, right? And we had those people growing up, and Fish actually had this experience because one of the people who she grew up reading his books is actually a member on her our server. And
Oh God,
he's
I sweat so
totally a
hard.
chill dude. And like I didn't even get to know him as an author first. I just got to know him as a person. He's so fucking cool. Like
He
I
is so
just chat with
chill.
him. I'm like, yo. That's just a screen name. I don't mind saying it.
Yeah, no, we're talking about the author of Quantum Sorcery and Voidworking, specifically Dave Smith. Which, Dave, if you're listening to this, you're fucking awesome, and it's really hard not to fangirl at you even now. Just saying.
And like he's just like a real chill person. And eventually, when Dave Fish was like, "Yeah, just so you know, he's like a really big author and stuff," I'm like, "Oh shit, cool." But it's kind of like it's cyclical. You know what I mean? Like I'm a content creator too. At this point, we all are in this room, right? And we're going to naturally inspire other people the way that we have. Humility is a real big thing in my practice and in my personal life, and trying not to put myself up on airs like I'm better than other people just because I've arrived at a point where I'm able to actually produce stuff that helps other people, you know, because other people are going to get there. And the hard truth is they're going to be better at it when they do, because they're going to take the information that I've learned through my lessons and my refinements, pick it up, refine it themselves and make it better, and then pass it on to somebody who's going to keep doing that. And that's how we fucking evolve and grow as a human species, you know. It's a natural process of what makes us better, and I don't think that we should really be like shying away from it, you know.
No, like, fuck that. Like if we do our jobs right, they're going to be way fucking better than us.
Exactly. and like people coming up to you and saying, you know, thank you for what you've inspired me to do. You shouldn't really have to do anything other than just smile and get a warm feeling and say, you're welcome. I'm glad that I could help you the way that somebody helped me. Because that's all that it really is. They're not like, unless they're one of those people who's developed a parasocial relationship where like they think that somehow you're personally communicating to them. They're not really expecting something out of you half the time. Like when I go up to an artist who really I love their music and I like message them or like leave a review on their Bandcamp or something, I'm not doing that because I expect them to respond. I want them to know how much I value their art so they keep doing it, because god damn it feels tiring to scream into the void and have nobody like chip back, you know. And honestly, with the internet, we're so used to hearing negative feedback as opposed to positive feedback that, you know, it can feel off-putting at first because we don't even have the neural fucking pathways developed to react to it, you know, because it happens so seldomly. So you just kind of gotta take it in stride, not let it fucking puff you up too much, because then you stop being the thing that's really helping people and you give into that cult of personality, right? And as long as you can do that, it's just kind of like surfing or skateboarding. Yeah. You know, you got to go with the flow. And if suddenly you think that you're 100% of in control of something, try skating down a giant hill, and I promise you, you ain't.
God, you like, know, I've made a habit of something, and this is going to sound super toxic, and I apologize. I don't write bad reviews. I do write critical reviews sometimes if somebody's doing, like, they've got a really problematic take on some shit, and they're really wrong. But in general, it's easy to do it on the internet because all you ever hear is people bitching. So, like, I don't write casually nasty reviews about people. If I love a book, if I love a piece of music, if I love an artist, like, I will tell them that I love them and I will explain all the things that I love about it. But if it's not really to my tooth, or, you know, I think one little thing is like not quite right, or I don't agree with something, I'm not going to get into a big fucking fight with them. They actually put themselves out there. They're the ones that published it, that made the art, that made the music, that made the composition, that came up with the tech. I'm not going to be that person that goes onto the internet with a chip on my fucking shoulder looking for a fight to tear somebody fucking down to make myself feel better. Like, that's not who I am. That's not who I want to be. That's not who I want anybody else to be. Like, if they've got a problematic take, a really problematic take, like with Stargill the other day, it's like, I will drag your ass 6 ways to Sunday. But those moments are very rare and not much shit warrants that. But like, if an author or a musician or an artist that I love is having a bad fucking day, a bad day, I want that review to be there just in case they happen to glance at it on a day when they need to see it and get reminded of why they're doing it. Because I'd rather them be making content. I'd rather them be making their art and, you know, taking in that strange joy of creation and shit and not getting discouraged by having a bad day and having a bunch of shitty reviews that they didn't ask to see and, you know, are completely high-handed and unnecessary. Like, I don't come to the internet to be fucking nasty. As much as I rant, yeah. as much as I bitch, I'm not here to be fucking nasty. And that's not the environment I want to cultivate for other people. So I don't. Anyway, thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
I like that you mentioned Starhill again. I don't know if you saw the article that dropped in our Inner Circle channel. But it turns out the Starhill was correct.
The Starhill was making a 50-50 guess.
True. I mean, that is also true. But I guess the way, you know, people are looking at it, you know, well, technically.
Ooh, ooh, they were right. They were right. If you look at domestic violence cases and deaths, if you look statistically at it, there's only a few ways that that could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
She rolled the fucking dice and guessed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and I know that there's some astrology involved in this. I know. I get that. I'm not discounting astrology in the fucking slightest. That is not what this person is doing.
No.
Ugh. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Not going to be nasty.
Now that I just saw that article pop up and I was like, God damn it. Like, the one person you didn't want to be right, you were like, son of a bitch.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, there was a good chance she was going to be right, but it wasn't going to be because of some deep-seated understanding of
the cosmos.
Of the cosmos or Gabby Petito or anything else. It's looking at domestic violence statistics and the most likely causes of death and picking one.
That's very
You know? So, like, I do not discount astrology in the slightest. Like, I didn't grow up, you know, learning about it. I'm learning about it as an adult. I am not well versed, but at the same time, you know, if you're going to make a cold red guess, which is essentially what this fucking was, you just use the data to figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I know that she's probably real up her own ass right now about this.
Oh, yeah. And that's where my mind went. I was like, ah, this chick is probably like, oh, my God.
That's the shame of it. That's the part that's just like, fuck. Because you know that now that she's made that prediction and was proven right this time.
Uh-huh. So
she's going to be
the ego inflation. It's
just smug fuckery for days. Yeah.
And that is what really grinds my gears.
Yeah.
You know what? I wouldn't worry about it too much. Someone's going to Maleficarum her just because I know the internet has no shortage of catty bitches and catty witches.
Really?
And if I'm
one of them. Yeah.
And if I have
but, like,
people
I'm not
throwing
going, I'm not coming
at me,
for her, but...
If I have people throwing at me for the shit I'm doing, and I'm not even doing bad shit, I'm just trying to make good spaces for people who aren't fucking Nazis. You know, not asking a lot, right? If I'm getting people trying to death curse me for the shit I'm doing, I guarantee you someone's working up a Maleficarum so big on this woman that she is going to wind up fucking in the hospital.
Like, it's just the mage side of someone is wrong on the internet, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just like, that's the other thing. Like, I don't spin up shit like that over bullshit on the internet unless it's literally a Nazi who could hurt a person,
right?
Or someone who's exploiting a child, or some other nasty, like, actually legitimately hurtful shit. Like, I'm not gonna spin that up over anything. It's expensive. It's expensive in time, in supplies, in attention, in preparation, in all the things. Like, it's all an act of sacrifice. Am I willing to sacrifice this over a douchebag on the internet? No. A predator? A Nazi? Yes. But
speaking
not just
of,
some asshole.
Speaking of Nazis, it kind of made me... right? Speaking of Nazis. No, kind of circling back to kind of what I was originally kind of talking to you guys about. So you're kind of explaining like the development and evolution of groups, but I kind of... Because you guys were talking earlier about the Facebook group and how it needs cleanup. Mm-hmm. So how... the fuck do you clean it up when it gets so fucked like that? Because,
I'll explain this.
Like, with Witches Betwixt, like, it's so tiny right now. Like, it's in that, you know, you're here because either you stumbled upon us or you know one of us, right? So, like, it's in that phase. But, you know, in your case,
very,
this is a mess.
Very simple things have proven to work. And here's what I plan on doing. As soon as I get admin rights, because I'm only a moderator, I'm going to bring in the moderator team from the Discord who are willing to help on this, and the people from the Facebook who have talked to who are willing to help on this, and we're going to member purge. We're going to purge anybody we know who isn't like an active contributing member for a certain amount of time. And those who are serious about the group, we'll even have a warning post about it. We'll say, like, we're going to be doing a massive purge. Like, comment here if you want to avoid it. And, you know, we're not necessarily going to let Chud Lords back in anyways. And if someone is a Chud Lord, we can just turf them anyways and we owe them no explanation, right? And then you call You call it by the thousand because there's so many bloated accounts in there sitting there just taking up space. And people see the member count and they think that it's a free-for-all shit show and they can post whatever they want via the size. You bring it down into the numbers of the actual active users who are running the space. Suddenly people realize it's a kind of like a close-knit community of a few hundred people, and their shit will be caught onto really fucking fast. The entire fucking overtone window of the group shifts over fucking night, and then you have moderators who are actually doing stuff, who are actually content policing, who are actually doing things that look at their community to say, hey, how do we get this to engage with other people in a healthy manner? And you talk with your community about what they want, you engage them, you create content that you put in the community for them to interact, be it like imagery you've created or intelligent discussions or like media or what the fuck ever you're doing. You know, you have to contribute to that community to have any part in like cleaning it up. But the first things you got to do is get rid of people. You need to get rid of the people who aren't contributing, and you need to get rid of the people who are actively harming the group. And then if people really want to contribute, they can come back and do so. And if they don't and they sit there, they can get kicked again, you know. And a kick is different than a ban, and people need to remember that, right? Moderators have different tools that they can use for different purposes. So you don't need your group to be in the several thousands of people. That, in fact, is probably one of the worst things that you can do. What you probably want your group to be is somewhere between 50 to 500 to maybe 1,500 people at tops. You know, not saying you should stop letting people in past 1,500, but it doesn't do a group benefit to swell massively, because Facebook has that system of groups you might want to join, and people sit there and just click on groups to join to have fucking feed posts, right? So have like filters to ask people questions as to why they want to be in the group. Don't let people in who don't answer the fucking questions. Pretty simple. And also completely turn off member invitations so that people can't just add their friends and their sock accounts.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, yeah, the other thing is maintaining it over time. Like, having a staff that is well acquainted with the current versions of dog whistles and the current symbolism of folks that really have no business being in our end of a culture in the fucking first place. Like, people who surreptitiously add little bitty subversions to what we're doing in the hopes of shutting up the entire group and influencing the gestalt itself. Like, you don't want it to be an echo chamber. You don't want it to be a fucking fishbowl. At the same time, you need to be able to ID people who are deliberately coming in and trying to spread imagery that is associated with shit that you do not want to proliferate in the group. Like, Nazi shit, specifically. Nazi shit. Like, you don't want people coming in and, like, doing their little chuckle fuck, not subtle. Y'all aren't, if any of you fucks are listening to this, you are not fucking subtle. You're not as subtle as you think. Posting, like, 09A shit, hidden in the backs of sigil posts. Like, y'all ain't as subtle as you think. And having a mod team that knows how to ID the current dog whistles, the current little things, like, you know, the three parentheses bullshit, and calling it the fuck out and not being so conflict adverse that they don't deal with it. And bring it to people's attention. And pay attention to who, like, only crops up when it's like, oh, you know, it's just a fucking symbol, this, that, and the others. Like, if you don't understand why that's fucking wrong, if you don't understand why we don't want that associated with us, with DKMU, with any of our symbolism, with the LS, you don't need to fucking be here. Like, you've lost the thread. You don't understand the fucking point. You never did. We have never been about that. We're not about that now. We're not going to let it become that. Like, so many other culture groups have ended up getting fucking fashed, because that's what we're fucking fighting here. Getting fashed. Getting chutted up with weird ass, like, Vril, esoteric Nazi magic, white people, Hyborian bullshit, and like 4chan Pepe memes. Ain't here for it. Fuck you, ain't here for it. Like, and we never were. And I think part of the problem with the Facebook group specifically is you've got a bunch of folks that are just being edgelords on the internet, and they join up on DKMU and they don't read any of the back material. They don't know what we're about. And so it's, they are inventing what we're about in their head, and they are spreading what they think we are about to other people, who then believe their version of what shit is. We are established. Our point, our process, what we are, what we, you know, overall agree with, where we kind of align in the moral, ethical, and political fucking spectrum, has been out there for 15 fucking years. that didn't just change overnight or because you decided you got bored with fucking 4chan.
Yeah.
Like, and that's basically what we're fucking dealing with. Like, I don't mind lurkers. It's just, if you're going to lurk and only come out of the woodwork to defend somebody using a fucking swastika and something, why the fuck are you here? Get out.
Yeah, essentially that. Does that answer your question, Jer?
Sorry.
Yeah, it does. Okay. Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
Yeah, because, like, if there's this kind of circled back to community management again. And I'll say this, I guess, before we wrap, because we're, like, in the last little bit and we should start giving final thoughts. Yeah. Building a community is kind of like playing a role-playing game, right? I know that sounds absurd, but hear me out.
I can kind of see where you're going with it, yeah. But I want
to hear everybody brings something to the team, to the composition, to the armada, to the whatever the fuck size structure you're building, right? And one of my first introductions to, like, large community structures was through competitive gaming clans, which mirrored military structure, right? And a lot of that has to do with, like, ranks and divisions and blah blah blah, and I don't feel that's super useful, I'm going to be completely honest with you. But one thing that does stick is bringing people in, right? And not in, like, the sense of military recruiting, because military recruiting is coercive and it tries to convince people to do it regardless of whether or not they actually want to, and that's completely unethical. But, like, inviting people to your community is what's going to make it stay alive and thrive, right? Like, you can't build something and then just expect people to magically follow some link on the internet, right? So a lot of people who've come to the group have been invited by people who are in the group, and word of mouth is one of the most powerful things. So, like, letting people know, like, what we do is we have a vouching system where if you've been around for a certain amount of time and you meet certain criteria, you get a vouched on your a check mark on your profile. And when you have vouched, you're able to invite friends to the server as well as see the back rooms, right? So it allows people to feel like they have a very real hand in shaping what the community is. And if they ever forget that and start shitposting too much, it's as easy as just chatting with them. Like, there was actually a conversation that came up in voice chat the other day. One person was, I was, like, trying to deal with something that was happening in Domus, and one person was making jokes out of it. And they're like, sorry, do you want me to stop? And I'm like, well, I mean, it's up to you. I'm not going to give you shit for it because you're not crossing a line. But, like, remember, a community is what you put into it, and what you get out of it is going to be based off of that, right? So if you want to see this person grow, it's probably helpful if you stop playing memes out of this and actually give them a chance to learn from this situation, right? And I wasn't even reprimanding them. They just honestly asked, and I just honestly said what would be best, and they were just like, oh, noted. And then everyone's just like, damn. And I'm like, yeah, because, like, each of you are actively contributing to the community as being a member. You contribute just as much, if not more, than an admin, right? Like, the community is there for the members, right? Like, it's not there for the admin to run. And people forget that, right? So the average community member who's in there, like, making people happy, who people want to chat to, who's bringing shit together, they need to be reminded that they're important and special, and that what they're building matters, you know? And that's kind of what brings communities together.
And it seems that we have a very shy community.
We do, but that's fine. That's, like, okay. Not though. Everybody feels like, and this was me for a long ass time. Like, me I felt too. Like,
I'm still kind of
like, I lurked for ages because it's like, well, do I have anything really useful to contribute to this conversation, or am I just talking to hear myself? And for the longest time, I was like, I'm just going to be talking to hear myself. Fuck it. I don't want to say, I'm not going to put my shit out there, not because I'm scared of criticism, but because I'm literally not bringing anything to the table that people don't already know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that was just me being wrapped up in my own shit. But, like, lurkers are okay. It's just, like, when you do eventually contribute, when you do see that the community is here for you, that we're fucking tight-knit. I mean, on the fucking Discord, they call me Auntie Fish. And they call Omni Momni. It's aww, a fucking thing. Like, and we're not, like, you know, lovey-dovey, touchy-feely, you know, hugbox situation. It's just, you know, you want people to feel like if they've got a fucking problem, you might be, you know, the super aggressive gin-soaked auntie with the exceptionally aggressive pep talks, but you're fucking there for them. You'll go to bat for them. You'll help them unfuck the situation that they're worried about. You know, you'll deal with it. You'll be the adult and, like, make it easier for them. And you can be their advocate, or you can help them figure out what they did wrong or some other shit. Like, they're not, it's not a fucking popularity fucking pissing contest. You're there to support and help steward the community along, and you're volunteering your time to fucking do that, and anybody could be doing it. You know, you are fortunate enough to have the time to do it yourself, and when your time is over with, someone else will pick it up, hopefully one of the folks that you have shown how to do it. You know, it's like, we all have our tenure, we don't all stay, everybody has their own shifts in their life and shifts in priorities and shit. That's the way that this works. It's cyclical. So like, by being that person, you're demonstrating to other people how to do it when you have to fuck off and go do something else. So like, you're ultimately training your replacements, but not, you know, in a very deliberate or very obvious way.
I did want to ask one quick question. So, and I know, and after this we can kind of wrap up, but do you guys find this, like with DKMU in particular, is there a lack of like finding people interested in being like support staff, like volunteering, mods, whatever? Guys don't have a lack of that. Okay, that's interesting.
No,
not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Huh. That seems to be unique to your particular community, because I've kind of noticed that in online communities that I'm in, other ones, and also just, you know, volunteer events like, you know, Pagan Pride and stuff like that. So I've just kind of noticed that there seems to be somewhat of a disinterest perhaps in kind of volunteering, or so like, I just kind of want to put this out there for anyone. So if you're the kind of person who really wants to give your time to some sort of organization, but maybe you're afraid that you don't have enough skills, whatever, to bring to the table, I'm using air quotes, you can't see me, stop thinking that shit, because the chances are that that organization probably needs some help, you know? So, you know, don't bring yourself down, because, you know, there's a lot of communities out there, whether physical or online, it looks, with the exception of DKMU, they seem to have a surplus of readily available people, which is amazing, and I love that for you guys. But just as like a general rule of thumb out there, like any other community, just generally they're looking for help usually.
Yeah, so. I mean, and like, we collectively control the culture environment that we're in, everywhere that we're present. We have our, that's within the reach of our arm, and anything's within the reach of your arm, you can fucking change a little bit. So if you're in a bunch of communities that you don't like, or you don't like the environment, or you're kind of like, nah, this is getting weird, fucking step up. It's within your control to fucking fix it. Start doing it.
Yeah. So, and sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, any final thoughts that if we wanted to wrap up there, or did you have like a concluding thought here, Sophia?
Y'all go first.
If you're listening to this, I want you to pick something that you've read or seen recently and write an awesome fucking review for it. Tell them how much you love them.
Ooh, and then tell us what it was that you reviewed, because we're interested.
Yeah, yeah, let us know. Show us the cool shit that you love.
Show us the review.
I need new content. You know?
Anybody else?
Go make somebody else fucking day, sorry.
Be kind to people on the internet. You don't know what somebody else is going through.
That is very true. That is very true. It's hard sometimes, because sometimes my first reaction is to be like, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, no lie.
How about you, Sophia? Concluding thoughts for this evening?
Drugs ain't so bad.
there's a quote by Hunter S. Thompson. Let me find it.
Ooh, I want to quote it. I like this. We're going to play ourselves out on a quote. I like it.
Yeah, let me fucking find it real quick.
And Hunter S. Thompson, of all writers, too, he is just amazing.
I adore Hunter S. Thompson. I adore him. Let me see if I can do it in his voice.
There we go.
I hate to advocate drugs, alcohol, and violence or insanity to anybody, but they've always worked for me. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Hunter S. Thompson. Fucking lad.
Love it.
Fucking lad.
Yeah. Well, also, Terrence McKenna. He's cool.
Terrence McKenna.
Well, with that, we're going to wrap it up here, and we'll see you all in the next one.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.